Perhaps there is a sport that broadcaster Al Michaels hasn't brought us in his one-half-century career behind the microphone. Nah, probably not. He's done the one where they ride motorcycles on ice. He even suited up in leathers for it. More on that very soon. Anyway, he's got a book out, and it's titled You Can't Make This Up, Miracles, Memories, and the Perfect Marriage of Sports and Television. Al Michaels, welcome to Only a Game.
Bill, thank you very much. And the one sport I have not done is soccer.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear that.
Somebody told me recently that, hey, you know, you've done just about everything, so don't you want to do soccer before it's all said and done? And wouldn't you like to do the World Cup since it's become so big? And I responded by saying, since I've never been to a soccer game, I don't think I would like to end my career, at least figuratively speaking, by doing a soccer game. So that's out of the mix, Bill.
When you dressed up in leathers for that Motorcycles on Ice feature for ABC's Wide World of Sports, they didn't actually make you ride a motorcycle on ice, but it was close, right?
Well, it's probably as close as I have come to getting killed. I had just joined ABC. I was the new kid on the block on a staff that included the iconic figures Howard Cosell, Jim McKay, Frank Gifford, Keith Jackson. So I'm going to do anything. And I go to Insel, West Germany, small town in the Bavarian Alps, about halfway between Munich and Salzburg, Austria. And they have this event called Motorcycles on Ice, which is wild. It's a quarter-mile speed skating track covered with ice. And all of these Eastern Europeans, Bill, came out from, at that time, before the wall went down, Czechoslovakia, Poland, the Soviet Union, Hungary. And they decided, well, why don't we do something different? We'll have me open up the show instead of standing there with a mic and saying, hi, welcome to Motorcycles on Ice. Why don't I get on one of the motorcycles with spikes protruding from the tires, come down the straightaway, get off the bike with a mic, and welcome you to Wide World of Sports. So I say, fine, without telling the producer that I had never been on a motorcycle and I'd only really been on a Schwinn bike, and I had just recently, you know, taken the training wheels off of that. So the first thing they have to do is, you know, find me a uniform. I'm about, at that time, I'm 5'10". I probably weigh somewhere around 180. And they find a Soviet rider who's about 5'5 and a half and weighs 145. So for starters, I'm now trying to get into his leathers. So breathing became an issue. I have to think about what I'm going to say. I'm in my second or third show on Wide World of Sports. 15,000 people are in the stands, and I'm trying to figure out how the motorcycle works. So I don't know whether there's a gas pedal or what, and I realize, you know, it works with a clutch and an accelerator, but you do it with your hands. So at one point, I'm revving it up to the point where, I mean, it must be screaming at like 15,000 revolutions per minute, and I am ready to let the clutch go because I don't know what the clutch is. And fortunately, at that point, somebody grabbed my hand and made sure the clutch got engaged again. So that was the way I broke into Wide World of Sports, and fortunately, here I am to talk about it.
In You Can't Make This Up, you recall, among many other things, your first visit to Ebbets Field to see the Brooklyn Dodgers play, and one of the things that you remember most vividly is looking up into the press box. Really? Why weren't you looking at Gil Hodges, Pee Wee Reese, and Jackie Robinson?
I was looking at everything at that point, Bill. I was looking at the field and how unbelievably green the grass was. And the Dodger uniforms are, as Vin Scully has always described them, wedding cake white. Mm-hmm. Perfect. There's signage on the outfield walls, and Ebbets Field was just, you know, the most wonderful place. So I walk in at 6 years old with my father, and I'm mesmerized. And it's the first thing I can remember in life, and thinking to myself, how can I come here every single day? And at some point, I remember looking into the press box and looking at the broadcast booth, and to think that all those years ago, the iconic Red Barber was there, a very good announcer by the name of Connie Desmond, and a young kid by the name of Vin Scully. I knew that that's what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly, but I knew somehow I had to be able to find something to get me to Ebbets Field every day of my life.
Al, you have brought people Super Bowls, the World Series, all manner of Olympic events, including, of course, the 1980 hockey game in Lake Placid between the U.S. and what was then the Soviet Union. And obviously, you've been terrific at these things because you've been employed for many, many years. Was there ever an event where you started talking and suddenly realized you were unprepared?
I can't say that that's ever happened because I won't allow it to happen, Bill. But, I mean, there have been events where I'll come on the air and you might slightly lose a train of thought. But not feeling prepared, no. I just would never let that happen.
The subtitle of your book refers to the perfect marriage of sports and television, but the coverage of sports on TV has changed so dramatically over the course of your career. It used to be all about ABC, NBC, and CBS, then ESPN came along, and now there are channels devoted exclusively to one sport. That's probably even true of motorcycle racing on ice. Has the marriage to which you refer in that subtitle just gotten better and better over the decades?
Basically, yes. It used to be, when it was on the three networks, there was a specialness for a show like Wide World of Sports, which was the first show to really take you overseas. Satellite technology was coming into play, and you could go behind the Iron Curtain, and it was one of the few shows that allowed you to do that. So what's happened with sports on television is there's so much more of it. For people who can't get enough of it, it's phenomenal. Some people who think, well, there's too much of it, I always tell them, hey, look, if you like sports but you feel there's too much of it, there's a little button, it's an on-off button, so turn it off. So just watch what you want. I mean, nobody's saying you have to listen or watch. So it's good and bad. I think HDTV is fantastic. I mean, to me, football is much better to watch on television than in person. Now, in person, at the stadium, you have a different experience. You have that communal experience with the fans, and you can go to the office the next day and say, I was at the game last night, and that gives you a certain cachet. But you can see the game about 100 times better on television.
I'm afraid this is going to seem like an inevitable question for a man who's been broadcasting sports for 50 years, but is there one event or even one moment that stands out as the most gratifying in your long career?
Well, I would say that in terms of the event itself, nothing could ever top the United States and the Soviet Union in Lake Placid on February 22nd, 1980, because that was the, as Sports Illustrated put it at the end of the 20th century, probably the greatest sporting moment in the United States in the 1900s. People still to this day talk about it. Those who remember watching it or having been there, they glow when they talk about it. In terms of the television production, it wasn't very good. And I would know that because I knew the technical issues that we had had at Lake Placid. So if I look at the event as a television production, below average. But nobody will ever know that, Bill, because when they say the Olympics in 1980, there's only one thing you're ever going to think about, and that's the U.S. against the Soviet Union. In terms of the event itself, Bill, nothing could top Lake Placid.
You write in the book that you don't agree with the contention that a tragedy like the earthquake that occurred during the 89 World Series, quote, puts things into perspective. You regard that as a cliche, and I think you're right, because we shouldn't allow ourselves to lose perspective. But I have to wonder in retrospect if you feel that just for a moment you lost perspective when you made that famous call at the end of the hockey game in Lake Placid and asked rhetorically, do you believe in miracles?
It's a good question. And, you know, I think in that particular case, first of all, the game is ending. I don't have anything scripted. And what happened with that is it came out of my heart. Somebody wrote it was the 9-year-old in me coming out, and I'll buy that. I think that's exactly what it was. And look, I love sports. I'm witnessing one of the most unbelievable upsets ever. It's happening in the Olympics. It's happening in our country. I have an audience that is rooting 99.99% for the U.S. team. So when the puck came out to center ice, the word that came into my mind was miraculous. I have no idea that 35 years later, you know, people still say, oh, we love when you – great, that's wonderful, and it's a nice coda. The players did it. I didn't do it. I mean, they all say to me, hey, you know, what a great line and all that. I'm going, hey, you guys did it. You guys won the game 4-3. I didn't. I'm just sitting there announcing the game. But it formed a nice climax to an event that most people just think about and revel over.
With L. John Wertheim, Al Michaels has written, You Can't Make This Up, Miracles, Memories, and the Perfect Marriage of Sports and Television. Al, thank you very much.
Bill, what a pleasure.